start our own basically non-government association. So we did that, and so now that we can operate. So once we was able to do that, we could get our own church building and start assembling there. And then here recently, we upgraded to a new place, but we still don't have a baptismal situation figured out yet. In the winter time, okay. It's a problem.
Wow, yeah. Very good.
The Russians here, they enjoy to go in the water in the winter time, but I'm not Russian enough for that.
So. Gotcha, wow. Would you like to tell us a little about your latest outreach opportunities that you've had and what you kind of envision for the Nicodemus Project?
Well, so Serbia is, if you think about the Jewish culture and trying to go to the Jewish culture nowadays and how difficult that would be, or even you could say even Islamic culture, I think what we're trying to do here is something that could be very helpful in an Islamic culture, but also a Jewish culture, in that many people are afraid to be seen interested in what we have. And so many people don't come to church. We've actually had a lady that come to help my wife clean the house, and it was an awesome opportunity because my wife got to witness to her. She was like, this is very interesting. But she doesn't want to come to church. She's very open, but she's scared. And so many of the people I see here, like I was telling your pastor, if there's one person in the Bible that reminds me of the Slavic people, would be like Russians and Serbians, it's basically the character Nicodemus in the Bible. And the story is that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Why did he do that? Well, potentially, this is all hearsay, but potentially it could be because he had a fear of his own culture, his own people, maybe losing his job, losing his status, but he was interested, so he came to Jesus by night. And so that's what we're trying to do, is to create avenues for people to hear the gospel, to listen. Yeah, we love them to come to church, but what's more important than them coming to church is that their soul, that they learn truth. So basically we're trying to pre-educate people before they even come to church. So that's what the Nicodemus Project is we just make we make content, we use all the different things that we can, you know, Instagram and the now infamous band TikTok. It's very famous in Serbia, so we utilize that, post videos, and we've actually had people, one couple actually joined our church through baptism. They were both rebaptized here about 2 months ago. And they found us because of this Nicodemus Project. And so it's something that I think God can use. And Jesus said, greater things will you do, right? Talking about the future. You could think about tracks. And maybe modern days it could be this technology thing. And so we're trying to use it as best we can. So we recently had an outreach. Every year we try to do basically a campaign where we take the gospel into a different village. And we went down to the center of Serbia, which is the old capital. So we went down there. We did a conference down there. The title was, the theme was, Who is Jesus? And there was a man who was a radical Muslim who got saved. And he's going to a brother church of ours in Croatia, Johnny Leslie. Probably don't know him. Independent Baptist missionary. This guy goes to church down there. Well, we invited him to come back to his motherland, Serbia, because he's a Serb. But he was a Muslim. He got saved, and he came and shared his testimony at that time. So since that time, again, we have a digital platform for people to sign up that they get videos and updates. So we still have currently about 10 or 15 people that are getting update videos, but still everybody's afraid to come to our meetings. And so it's just little by little. Even one guy that's coming, he says, just be consistent. And just don't give up, because many religions come and they try to do their thing. They, as they say, blow in, blow up, and blow out, right? But just let people get to know you. Let people see that you're real. And he said, there's people here that are looking for truth. You know, so that was pretty exciting. So every month, the last weekend of the month, we take a trip and we go visit these different groups that we've met. And so the end of the month is next week. We're going to go down And we call it the aorta tour, or basically the heart tour, where we travel down through the center of Serbia and just stop and meet with these different groups that we've made connections with. So it's been good.
It's good. Sounds like in this last outreach, you had different avenues of trying to reach out through like track distribution and then flyers, and then as well as some of your online, that would be like YouTube and other type videos that you posted about it. And
well, I used to do construction. That was my pre-missionary job, is I would build houses. My dad had a farm, and so we would build houses. We would do construction. And I eventually branched out and started doing handyman work on my own. Well, one of the things I studied and looked at was advertising. And one of the things they would talk about is try to do advertising as many different ways as you can, a minimum of three. And so I found that to be pretty good method to try to do. And so when we do these campaigns, we try, yes, we design flyers, or basically tracks, and we'll mail those to mailboxes around the city. And then we'll design videos, several different videos, and we'll post those on, we'll pay advertising on YouTube, on Facebook, Instagram, all these ones, and we'll put those out there. And that'll get, and what you can do with these platforms is you can localize your advertising. So just around, you know, Fort Scott, Kansas, you can just do right there, or you know, in my case, Kragujevac. And so we're able to hit people two or three different ways, and then we go down in person with our church. And we had one of our guys is from Romania. He was down there with us. One guy's from Serbia. He was there with us. We had a family from Russia. Actually, if you've heard of the town Belgorod, that's a town that's been recently being hammered from Ukraine into Russia. And so they moved here to kind of escape all the craziness. So they went down and passed out flyers with us, and they're excited. So yeah, so we tried to do that. Sometimes, because we have this NGO, the previous one we did, we had a radio advertisement we tried to do, and then we also did some television ads. We made those, but we didn't find that was much helpful. The biggest things were the flyers and the digital marketing, and then also just being there in person because, oh, yeah, I seen you guys on TikTok. I seen you guys on Instagram. I got that flyer in the mail, and being there in person was just another way to say, hey, I see a face. I know you're real. You know, I'll be there. You know, so it's been good.
Now, would you have the ability to kind of even demonstrate that in terms of like show one of your videos for us? And
yeah, I'll share my screen here.
That's just kind of interesting, fascinating. Mm-hmm. I honestly, until you talked about this, I did not know that you could localize your advertisement on Facebook or other digital platforms. So.
You'll open up your sharing. I'll share my screen and I'll show you a video.
Okay. So what do I have to do here? Share. No, I'm sharing my screen. That's not good. I just need to. Oh, multiple participants can share their screens. Maybe that, did that help you?
Try it. Let's try it. Okay. There we go.
Is that working?
All right. Here's one video right here that we did. Now this video that you're going to see here is just, we did a series on marriage because one of the biggest things that people say is what's the Bible's purpose? It has no help for me. Right? Yeah, we give the gospel, but also the Bible's helpful in many other ways. And one of the ways the Bible's helpful is to keep your marriage together. So we did a series of short little 1-minute videos about how the Bible can help your marriage. And this is one of those that talks about abuse being in the family. And again, when you see this video, you'll notice that I'm speaking Serbian and that my lips will match what I'm saying. Again, this is all AI. I can't speak Serbian this well. And let alone make it sound that good. So I make these videos in English, and then we dub them into Serbian, and we also put these into Russian as well. So we have three different YouTube channels. We have the English, we have the Serbian, and the Russian, because there's so many Russians here. But we put these videos in all those languages, and then we create contacts, and then I travel around visiting these people who are interested. So here's an example. Prepoznavanje znakova zlostavljanja u Srbiji je obiteljsko nasilje značajan problem, pri čemu su muškarci glavni počinitelji, međutim, žene su također identificirane kao počinitelji. Ovdje u Srbiji Efežanima 5 daje ovu zapovijed muževima da vole svoje žene, kao što je i Krist ljubio svoju crkvu i dao sebe za nju. Prava ljubav štiti, ne nanosi štetu. Ako su tvoje akcije uzrokovale da se tvoja supruga boji tebe, vrijeme je da prepoznaš znakove i pokaješ se. Nasilje nije mjera snage, to je zapravo znak slomljenosti. Nije rješenje za bilo koji od životnih problema. Ako ste krivi za ovaj grijeh, odlučite prestati danas. Potražite pomoć i dopustite da vas Božja ljubav transformira, donoseći pravu mir i ozdravljenje u vaš dom.
So that was an example of one of those videos. Let's see if I can find it. Hang on a second. Okay, there you are. So, you know, it's just a way to fish, and we put these out. And one of the things that's awesome is, again, we make those contacts. In many of these videos, we put a link to our YouTube channel where they can find more helpful videos, and then also a way to contact us. And then also we put in there, if they want a free Bible, they can sign up for a free Bible. And so we get a lot of people that contact us, fill out the forms, and then we just mail them Bibles, you know.
That's neat. What do you see as some needs that you might have in terms of trying to cause this ministry to go forward?
Well, it's that's really an endless question because, oh boy, one of the things I believe God has for me to do, you look at your different skills in what God is, you know, the Bible talks about gifts, right? And I believe one of the things I enjoy the most, but then also I think it's one of the most beneficials, and I think you'll agree with me, is that personal one-on-one contact, is that conversation over coffee. That's been the biggest fruit, but how do you get to that point, right? And these videos and this digital stuff has been a way to create those contacts to say, hey, let's meet up, hey, let's get together. So the more the videos that we make, the more contacts that I go, which means leaves me less time to make the videos. And so I would like to see in the future a couple different things that I can see for this is I want to see churches, I don't know if you guys have something like this, but other churches around the world be able to learn how to do this and be able to implement it in their own church. That's one thing. But also for us personally, if the Lord called somebody to come over here and help with just administrative type stuff, that would be a huge blessing because it takes so much time for the paperwork and all the different avenues of administration type stuff. That would be a blessing. But then also back when I was in Bible college, I knew that there were young people who wanted to serve the Lord, but they just didn't know what God wanted for them. And, oh, man, this is a wonderful opportunity for young folks to learn how to put these things together, and they can be a help in their home church, or maybe they can go help another missionary around the world. And this is a way that you can even stay in your hometown and be able to help a missionary way across the world, right? So the sky's the limit, whether it's help people come here and help us with our digital ministry, or if they say, hey, I just want to learn how to do that, we can help you do that too. Take a missions trip over here, spend a few weeks, learn some tricks, you know, and go back and help your church or your parents' church, or your sister church. Or your... So there's all sorts of things, but willingness is the biggest need of someone to help.
Okay, very good. You want to just tell us for a moment, and I don't even know if this is the secure environment to do that, but you're having some political unrest there in Serbia, and it's kind of maybe it's just a sideshow at this point in terms for your ministry, but that's kind of the context of what you're ministering in.
When I first came here, I was very worried about security and
And it was that case, you know, America, we bombed Serbia in 1999 with the help of NATO. So they're not very happy with us. And one Russian man told me, he said, American in Serbia, how's that working for you? I said, well, you're right, honestly. And honestly, the Russians are much more accepted in Serbia than I am. And I said, well, I'm just here just trying to do what we can. I know they're not going to like me, but we're just trying to do our best. And so the unrest, I was worried, but since then, people, I've learned that they know the difference between a government and the people. And it wasn't my president that bombed Serbia, okay? So they know that. But then right now, I'm doing this on unsecured Wi-Fi at this. So we rented an Airbnb to have these baptisms. That's where we are right now, at an Airbnb, okay? Because we didn't have any place to. The other two places that we usually use, they're both closed for the winter. So we rented this place with this pool. But it's unsecured Wi-Fi. So I've not got that big of a worry anymore. I know there's probably some tech people out there that are gasping. But as far as the Vučić thing, it's all internal problems, and the biggest problems I have is sometimes we have people in the church that want to go protest. They want to go out there and get in the fight, you know? And so they ask the question, what does the Bible say about protesting? You know, shouldn't protest? That's a good. So we turned over to Romans, and we talked about resisting the powers that God has put in place, and should we do that? And so it's been good conversations, but it's not affected us really. As long as we just stay out of the way, as long as they don't get involved with the protest and all that, that's not too big of a deal. The bigger deal is when Trump and the government put sanctions on Serbia. That hurts my fuel prices, but that's really as much that me. So.
Gotcha. Wow. And I'll just kind of we're coming kind of to the end here, but. I'll just ask one more question. How's your family been adjusting to life in Serbia, your kids and your wife, and what would you say is the most difficult part?
Difficult? I thought because of all the technology we had, it would be easy to stay in contact with family back home. But honestly, that sounds petty, maybe, but that's really one of the biggest difficulties. I mean, it's 1 o'clock. It's 1:20 in the morning my time right now, and so when it's my easy time to talk, everybody's at work or they're busy, and so to try to communicate with family or my dad or family members, and after a long time, you can go 3 or 4 months down the road, you haven't talked to your family, that can get difficult. But we're modern missionaries, so we're a little bit more weak than Adoniram Judson and those guys, you know, and we're complaining. But they had to write a letter and wait for 6 months, you know, before they got a letter back. So really, God's blessed us, and that we have all the niceties of America here. So it's not too bad. There's the things I should stop. Amen. there's a banana over here too. So I just don't see it.
All right.
But God's been good, and we've adapted well. So.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Is it all right if I open it up for a couple questions here from the floor, and I'll just we'll see.
Može, nema problema. Yes.
All right, Joyce, go ahead. Okay. Well, very good. So we have a lady.
Happened to be Joyce Lundeen over there.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I can't wait to meet her. I see your comments on there, and she's a blessing. She's always encouraging.
Well, good. Well, praise the Lord. So, we want you to be encouraged.
Well, part of the discouragement that she might see is just making videos. It's not necessarily something I enjoy. I do it because I see the need. You know, I grew up in a little independent Baptist church in North Missouri. You guys, if I remember right, you guys are out in the sticks, kind of away from town. And but I think you're closer to town than where I was. And so I grew up in my church, and I didn't really see missionaries. I didn't see all that. And it was just, it was a huge blessing for me to get to meet missionaries. So honestly, these things are rather tasking. They're difficult. Many times I make these videos at the end of the day or late at night when the kids are sleeping, because the kids are awake and they're making noise and running around. It's kind of hard to talk and do something. So most of the time, if it looks like I'm discouraged, many times I'm just tired, you know, gotcha. Lazy excuse, but just tired. And maybe sometimes stressed, because we have a lot of different stressful situations and stressful things that happen in churches. You know how that goes. But just know that that's why God gave us the Comforter, and we lean on Him pretty heavy. And we appreciate the prayers, and it is awesome. One of the, I'll be honest with you, some of the biggest encouragements is just when people get on there and they just give a thumbs up or a like, saying, "Hey, we see you, we hear you, we're for you." So someone like Miss Lundeen over there, man, I tell you, that's helpful. The little things that say, "Hey, we're paying attention and we're for you," it's pretty awesome.
Amen. Wow, thank you. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? I'll take two more questions here if we have them. Anything for... Once you ask for a question, then we start thinking. So. All right. Well, all right. We'll go ahead, Isaiah.
Do the kids follow food?
Okay. Yeah. Do the kids enjoy the food in Serbia, or is that kind of a challenge for them?
Food. You know, that is a very interesting question, because my kids are not normal. Okay. Yeah. So the Serbian food is they don't have. We have potatoes, of course, and meat and hot dogs and stuff like that. So my kids are fed by their mother. And so their mother makes them very interesting and healthy meals. The other day I walked in, and they're playing with toys in the floor, and they have carrots laid out on the floor, and they're all snacking on carrots on the floor. Now, that doesn't sound weird to you, but when I was a kid, we snacked on candy and potato chips, okay? I'm looking at my kids, and they're, "You want one, Daddy?" And I'm like, "No, no, okay, thanks." But they're just snacking on carrots. And so, yeah, so their diet is not Serbian and not, from what I grew up, not American, okay? So, must be a homeschool diet. That's what that is, maybe, right?
Lord bless your wife, so. All right. Anyone else? We'll take one more question if someone has thought of something they'd like to ask. Yes, sir, Eric.
Do a lot of people there speak English?
That's a good question. Do a lot of people there speak English in Serbia?
Well, one of the reasons we went to northern Serbia, the northern part of Serbia touches Hungary. The northern part of Serbia is historically more European than the southern part. The southern part was taken over by the Muslims and lasted there for like 400 years. So the southern part is very much more religious and more unwilling to change with the times. And so also they're more anti-American. So we started in the north part of Serbia, and many in the north part speak English. And it's helpful because I can get around every day and speak English, but it's more difficult because it's hard to preach Serbian. Ja možem da pričam srpski, ali moj srpski najloši. I can preach Serbian, but it's very bad. Okay, and I usually, when I talk to someone, I say, "Ja trudim se pričam srpski, ali moj srpski je najloši." I can try to speak Serbian to you, but it's very bad. And they say, "Ah, tvoj srpski dobro." You know, your Serbian is great. You know. So there's actually two languages in Serbian. There's the verbal language, zdravo, kako si, hello, how are you, and then there's the nonverbal language, and that's with the hands. And so you gotta go like this. Da, 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 da. So yeah. Kind of like Italian, you know? It's like a Russian Italian almost, you could
say. Very good. Well, it's a joy for us to partner with you and your ministry there, and we're so thankful for your taking the time, and just appreciate even your willingness to meet up with us at 1 o'clock in the morning has just a small testimony of your commitment and willingness to sacrifice for the Lord, and you've demonstrated that, and we're so thankful to see the faithfulness of the Lord in you And do you mind if we just pray right here before we close it out? And
praise the Lord for you guys. I thank you for your support. And then you guys took on the Nicodemus Project as well. And I just can't say thank you guys enough. So praise the Lord.
Amen. All right, let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I just pray that you would bless the Millers and the gospel in Serbia and all those that are carrying that torch and believers that are there. And Lord, we know that the gospel brings forth fruit in all the world. And so, Lord, we claim that promise in that region and for those people and those clans and those tongues. And Father, we pray that you would just uphold Matt and his whole family, Lord, as they make many sacrifices for you. We pray that you would just give them the encouragement that they need. You would refine them and draw them closer to you through this whole process. Father, we pray that you would meet their needs and that you would make their outreach effective. And so, Father, we just are so thankful for them, and we pray for your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate taking the time here. May the Lord
bless
you. Hope you get some sleep.
Say in Serbian, they say ciao.
Okay. All right. Very good.
There you go. Okay. God bless.
Good. Thank you, sir. All right, we'll go ahead and I'll. Yes? Mm-hmm. Yes, very good. And what is your means of. Do you get them on Instagram? I mean, a Telegram? YouTube, okay. Good. I follow their Telegram channel. So anyway, it's just interesting. There's a lot of different ways that you can. Just get a seat. Yeah, it is very interesting. So. Yeah, it's really good. So. Yeah, well, they do. That's kind of one of the neat things, and he actually sent me some of that information. But they do. They can track on how many people clicked on it, how many people viewed it, and so you have a measure. So they spent $75 and got 1,500 views on the one video in terms of something like that. So you can choose a specific mile radius around a specific point, and anybody who watches YouTube or gets on Facebook, they're going to be those ads that you're going click, click. Now, you can spend more money, and they cannot skip it, and they have to watch the whole thing until it passes. Or you can spend less money, and then after 5 seconds, you know, they can skip through that. So it's kind of interesting. It's really something that is possible for us to utilize here if we wanted to. And we could target, you know, certain areas, and, you know, in terms of advertising dollars, it may not be very expensive. I don't know. It'd be something I'd look into. It is, but they do – Yeah. So you're going to reach probably a demographic that some of our other things don't necessarily reach. And it's interesting because there are people that are, you know, people are glued to their phones. There's an aspect to that aspect of their lives. And if you can kind of part of, you know, just touching people with the truth, and they may not, the first five times they may not look at it, but the sixth time they may go, man, I've been seeing that over and over again. I wonder what this guy have to say. You know, what is this gospel presentation? So, so it's just interesting. It's something that I think is possible to be used. So good. Yes. I think in terms of his latest outreach, he utilized that along with flyers and there's, like, he's mentioned the three. I can't remember off the top of my head. So there was the flyers, and then there was maybe track distribution or something like that, and then there was the video aspect. So he went to a city that they have no presence in, and be us like going up to Kansas City. We don't know anybody there, and we're going to just try to blitz, let people know, and we're going to have a meeting, and people are going to come. You think, what would be a success of how many people came? And they had 20 people come, to something that they've never, I mean, just first-time contacts. So that's, I would say, that's interesting to me. That intrigues me, because I would say if that happened around in America, I would be very shocked if we had 20 people come to just something that they don't know anything about, first-time type thing. So it's very interesting. So I am kind of startled by the avenue that's there. And but again, like you said, it's the time of trying to make videos and all that, and that's not my expertise, and I really have so many other things that I'm trying to do that I'm not really looking for something else to add on. But there is an element there that if someone really had kind of a desire to take on something like that and see that ministry go forward, we could check into it and see how God could help us. And again, part of what Matt has talked about here is he would like to help other people learn how to use this, even remotely. And then it's kind of interesting, because if you're able to do that, then you can help missionaries. I mean, we could help the Harrises in South America. We'd help, you know, we could do something to allow them to produce videos for their region. And, you know, and so it's just really, the possibilities are kind of, like you said, there's like kind of limitless. So, all right, good. My plan was finish with the missionary, and now I'm going to have Brother Kenny come up and just lead us in our normal song services. That's all right, Brother Kenny. And we'll look at how much time we have left after that.
Well, I have picked really long songs.
Okay.
All right, let's start off with 235. 235, Lead Me to Calvary. And I guess I would add, I don't know, maybe this is just my opinion, but I just think Matt is just a really, really charismatic dude. And so I think that's part of the reason he has some success. And he's really passionate about the gospel. So 235.
King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Yes, I forget thy conquering now, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget God.
392. Who is on the Lord's side? Last one's back just one page to 391. I'm resolved.
turn to the book of Romans here. I just want to give you a quick challenge. I have about 10 minutes here. I want to be done with about 5 minutes to spare. Hopefully we'll put the special here at the very end as a testimony to the truths that we're going to see here. If you had a chance and a little bit, excuse me, get the old frog out of my throat. The very opening of this book is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've seen here in verse 16 and 7 that he is not ashamed of the gospel. And if you want to know how the gospel starts, you just look at verse 18. And I just want to give you a few things that will help you to present the gospel to people. And if the most comprehensive presentation of the gospel is in the book of Romans. And so we find out that the gospel starts, verse 18, with the wrath of God. God is angry. And he's angry at mankind because of our rejection of the truth of God. And you read through Romans chapter 1 and you find that man has turned away from the knowledge of God. Four times in the opening, it talks about men know God. They know who the true God is. It's displayed. And yet they are suppressing it. They are turning from it. And in the end, I think the one part here it says in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So there's an element of, and partly what he's talking about here is the Gentiles who turn to idolatry. They have rejected God and they are underneath the wrath of God. And so chapter 2 begins to go in, and what I've done in my Bible is I've circled every time the word judgment occurs. And I can see it very clearly in verse 1, in three times. Verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. He goes and talks about God's goodness towards man to lead them to repentance. But men are not responding often to the goodness of God, but are treasuring up wrath, verse 5, against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And he begins to describe in those following verses what that judgment is going to be like. Verse 16 wraps it up. He says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So part of what needs to be understood is that there's a judgment day coming. God is angry against men. And what he's doing is he's trying to demonstrate in this book that the Gentiles are worthy of the wrath of God, but also the Jews. And in verse the end of chapter 2, he is basically saying, it's not just you. You judge other people and you say, you ought not steal. But have you stolen? He says, yes, you have. And he goes through and describes them. And so the Jews are in the same place. So if you jump to chapter 3, verse 9, he says at the middle of the verse, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. So that's where if someone's truly going to turn to the Lord, if we're going to follow the example of the gospel, they have to understand that they are sinners, that they have broken God's law, and that they are going to stand before the wrath of the judgment day. This is the truth of the gospel. And in fact, he's going to go on and say, as it is written, and what's amazing to me in verse 10, all the way down to verse 18, I don't know if I've quoted it, I don't know if I've counted it up, but there's at least 5-6 different quotations that he's quoting from different places. And he says, all through the Scripture, it says this, that we're all are sinners. And he says, verse 19, we know that what things soever the law saith, the quotations before are the law that he's referring to, it saith to them that are under the law. He's saying, this applies to you, Jewish people, who think that because you have the law and you have all these things around you and you have this relationship with God through the covenants, that you're not a sinner? He says, no, every mouth will be stopped and all the world will become guilty before God. So here's the conclusion. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. If the gospel is about the judgment day coming and the wrath that's going to be poured out, justify is the law court where God says, innocent, you're not guilty. And yet, the reality is we're all guilty. And the law's purpose is to show everyone the knowledge of sin. But here is the most compact description of the gospel, really, I think, in all the Bible, found in verses 21 through 25. He says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed in the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. So what I believe is going on here, he says, all right, this is what you need. If you want to be justified, you have to have righteousness. But it's not your righteousness. You need the righteousness of God. And in God imparting to us righteousness, and what he's going to describe here as a free gift, not by the deeds of the law. When God does that for us, he just demonstrates his righteousness, his glory. And so I think there's kind of a dual emphasis in these verses, where when he says the righteousness of God, he means, yes, the character of God, but he also means the very thing that God is giving to us. And he says this righteousness is by the faith of Jesus Christ. What I believe that phrase means is that he is referring to the life of Jesus Christ when he says the faith of Jesus. It's Jesus Christ's faith and faithfulness. It's the life that he lived that is the righteousness of God that can be imputed to our account. Now, he says this righteousness is available to all. It says the unto all and upon all them that believe. So he changes up the preposition. He puts all after each one, and he qualifies the second all, and there's no qualification for the first. That means that the righteousness of God is available to every man. It's right up there. It's close, as he's going to say in chapter 9 and in chapter 10, where the word of salvation is even in your mouth, if you would but speak it. God has a free gift that he's made available to all, but not all people have it. It's only upon those who receive that righteousness in this one way, them that believe. And his focus here is there is no difference. Doesn't matter whether you're a Jew trying to keep all the law or you're a Gentile and you've broken all of God's law in idolatry and paganism, you have to come to God one way, by faith in the righteousness of God as a gift. Because why should all of us come that way? Because we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Now he goes back to this righteousness. He says, being justified, that's the word righteous in the verb form, declared righteous freely. That freely is referring not to our freely receiving it, but to God's freely giving it. He did not have to, was not compelled, but by his grace. You know, when someone's done something for you and you have no reason to explain it, why would they give me that? Why would they care about me? I mean, if somebody out of the blue just came to you and gave you a gift and you never met them from Adam, that would be shocking. We would say, that's grace. But we would really be shocked if the person that walked up and gave us money is the person that we rear-ended at the traffic light. We offended. We hurt them. We rebelled against them. And God is giving out grace to us. And he said that grace comes through the redemption of Jesus Christ. Redemption means to be bought back. Means that we're on the slave market of sin. We're possessed by someone else. All those that are in the world are doing what the spirit of the wicked one wants them to do. They're living according to his course, Ephesians 2 tells us. And he says, we are bought back by Jesus Christ. How did he do this? Verse 25 explains it. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. All right, what is propitiation? Big word. It's right here in our Bible. If I said one word, can you finish? Satisfied the wrath of God. Where does the gospel start? God is angry against sinful man, and He's just to do so. He's right to be angry. If someone was walking by and they were punching a little kid, and it didn't bother me one bit. I walked by and didn't care. Would you call me a righteous man? What if it was my child that was getting hurt? And I walked by and I didn't care. That's not righteousness, right? Righteousness is wrath against all ungodliness. And God is holy. God is pure. And He is angry. And yet He set His Son to be the propitiation. God welled up from His throne. He was in anger. He is enlarged hell in that sense. For it was created for the devil and his angels. And He's going to cast ungrateful, rebellious mankind into that place. And in the providence of God, the plan of God, I should say, His intention is to set up Jesus Christ. So the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, that He will look upon Him and His soul will be satisfied. Jesus hung upon the cross and He said, "It is finished." And He gave up the ghost. And in that moment, you know what it's like to be angry. And then to have your anger come down and realize, it's okay. I don't need to express that. That's what God did in Jesus Christ. His anger has been satisfied because of Jesus Christ shedding His blood. And it's through those who put their faith in that shed blood that God is able to declare His righteousness for the remission or the forgiveness of sins that are past, which God has overlooked in the past through the forbearance of God, but now He has dealt with in the sacrifice of Christ. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness. What are we talking about? That He might be just. Every sin receives a punishment. If that were not true, God is not just. But every sin will receive a just punishment, and God is just. But because He put a sacrifice that could bear the wrath of God in the perfection of His Son, He is also able to be the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And so we come to this conclusion. If you understand the gospel right, you will answer this question correctly. Where is boasting then? What do you have to boast about in regards to your eternal salvation? He says, it is excluded. Nobody is going to boast about themselves getting to heaven. It will all the boasting and the glory will go to God. He said, if you've understood the gospel right, you'll understand this question correctly. By what law? Of what works did you do to get to heaven? Nay, there is no law. There is no works that you cannot be justified by the deeds of the law. It's not possible. It must be by the grace of Jesus Christ. He says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That's the gospel. People need to understand what God has done, what's coming to them in the end. They need to understand the relationship of faith and works. Because many people want to get better. They want to turn to God, but they still are relying and trusting in their own deeds. May God help us as we present this gospel. I hope you kind of feel like you understand this passage. We've gone through it. That you could walk yourself through someone and say, I could just go to one passage in Romans 3, and I could give all the essential parts of the gospel right in this one passage. And it's a great tool and a great help. And if you'd like some more help in regards to understanding this passage, I'd be glad to help you in that regard. We're going to, I'm going to pray. My family was scheduled to sing tonight, but we're out of time, so I'm going to bump that down the road. That'll be fine. We'll just keep practicing. We needed more practice anyway. And so we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed here. Dear Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your grace to us. We cannot boast in the wonderful salvation that you've given to us, but we certainly boast in you. That you are a righteous God, that you're a loving God. You've commended your love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, we don't deserve this gift, but Lord, I pray that you would help us to have this wonderful gospel on our tongue, that we might just tell people the good news, that they can escape the wrath that is to come through Jesus Christ. We pray it in his name. Amen. Oh, one thing I did forget to do. We do need to sing one more song, so we can do that together.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Charlotte. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Woo. Charlotte's turning 60 today, I guess this week, so we're really thanking the Lord for her. So. Plus 30. Oh. Praise the Lord for you. And so we just have a little bit of refreshments and things if you guys want to hang around to have a little bit of fellowship time in honor of Charlotte and turning 90 this week. So we love you very much. All right, you're dismissed. Yes.